A Mother Bear's Call. Maria, from an upper window, spied the children coming, tugging the basket along. She called down to old uncle and Aunt Susan on the piazza.
If them children aren't bringing home a cub!
Old uncle stirred in his hammock. Aunt Susan went down the steps.
What will I do next?
Said old uncle, as the twins came up with a joyful outcry to exhibit their treasure. He rose and peered into the basket.
'Tis a cub, surely.
He looked at the children from under his shaggy eyebrows.
Will you fetch in a catamount tomorrow?
We thought you'd be pleased.
Essie faltered.
Why, uncle?
Cried Allie.
Why, old uncle, don't you love a baby bear? I just want you to see him suck my fingers. You can't help loving him.
I love you,
teased old uncle, catching her up to a place in the hammock beside himself.
But you can't keep him alive on your fingers, even if he only sucked up one a day.
You're just funning. Pincher knows how to feed him, and so does Michael. I reckon Essie and I could too. Old uncle, we won't let him be a bit of trouble,
said Essie.
Oh, of course he won't be any trouble,
said Aunt Susan. She and Aunt Rose had brought a bottle of warm milk with a rag over the top of it. They put it into the little bear's mouth, and the whole family gathered round to see him take his dinner. His grunts of satisfaction were very funny. At last, the little fellow let go of the bottle, stretched himself out, and rolled over on the grass, and looked so good-natured, you would almost have said he was laughing. And Aunt Susan said,
"A little bear is a little dear."
The cub must have been pretty tired with all the attention and endearments he received that day, not to say anything about Master Will's efforts to make him stand on his hind legs, when he tumbled over every time like a mold of jelly. But at last, and after his supper, he was put to sleep in the shed on a little truss of hay, under an old blanket, where, as soon as he was alone, he began to whimper for his mother. But the children did not hear him. They had trooped upstairs to their own beds, all of them as tired as the cub himself, and were presently sound asleep. The great moon rose white and solemn above the hills, and poured her silver over the forests, and the whole world seemed to sleep too. It was just in their first sweet slumber that everyone in the house was awakened by the most frightful sound they had ever heard. Now it was loud, high and shrill. Now it was a long, low growl. Now again it was a series of sharp cries like barks. Now it was a roar, and something was knocking about the chairs on the piazzas, scratching at the windows, lumbering down the steps and plowing and plunging over the grass, something with heavy jaws, and coming, clap, clap, along the front of the house. Finally it made off clumsily in the direction of the shed, and raised such an uproar that the sky rang with it. Everyone was out of bed and at the windows. The twins, half hiding behind the curtains in fright, shivered as they saw, plainly in the moonlight, a big creature standing erect, cuffing away at the side of the shed, and whining and growling all the more when a little whine and a little yelp answered from within. Pincher saw the children and laughed. He was standing at the window at the other end of the long hall.
"It's Mother Bear,"
he called.
"Hear her? Where's my little bear, she's asking? Where's my baby? You folks give him back or I'll eat your babies. Little Bruin, I'm a-hearing of ye. You want your mammy, don't you? She smelled you all the way here. How am I gonna fetch her? You bet I'm gonna. Give me my little bear. He's a dreadful fright in there. If you folks only see him eating the blackberries, you'd know how smart he was. See, I can't just lend him. I gotta get him real fat before we go into winter quarters. How'd you get here? How'd you get here anyway, you little scamp? I can't leave you for 5 minutes. You were safe asleep in a soft holler. And then, when I was wading in the river, with a beehive in my arms, so as to drown the bees and get the honey, off you go. Don't you know little bears should mind their mother? I won't leave so much as their aprons on if I can put my paws on them, but I'll have to box their ears for them, I guess. I say now, folks, I'll tear the place down if you don't give me back my cub.
Oh, Pincher, does she really say all that?
Asked Allie.
Pincher, would she tear down the house?
Cried Essie.
The poor mother!
Aunt Susan was exclaiming, hurrying into her dressing gown and slippers, and then she and old uncle ran down the back way, followed by Pincher, and they took up the cub and opened the shed door a crack and pushed him through, and banged and bolted the door behind them. Everybody looked out that could. The mother bear stood off a moment on her hind legs. Then she fell on the cub like an avalanche and held him in her arms as any mother holds her baby, and licked him from top to toe, and lay down and gave him his dinner. After that, gazing back at the house every step or two with a growl, she lurched off, little Bruin laboriously following. But Pincher declared that the last he saw, as he watched her out of sight, she was up on her hind legs carrying her baby in her arms like anybody. The twins watched as long as they could see her. Then Essie began to cry.
I wanted to keep him. I loved him so. So did I,
said Allie, with her arms around Essie.
But I guess, Essie, we'll have to get along with Bobo. I wonder how Pincher knew his name was Bruin. Someday we'll go into the woods and call, Bruin, Bruin, and perhaps he will remember us. His mother loved him, you know, Essie. I suppose she was so sorry when she found him gone. Mothers must have their babies, you know. Why, they belong to them.
If you foolish children don't go to sleep, I'll call Mother Bear back.
Oh, do you believe you could? Oh, Uncle, I wish you would.